This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
Tom Reed first came to Hole-in-Wall, Tennessee back in 1971 as a Vanguard member of a commune dubbed The Farm. Hundreds of hippies arrived in their vans and more than 80 school buses adorned with banners proclaiming, "Out to save the world." They purchased 1,750 acres and settled in, and the farm is still thriving in Hohenwald. Reed eventually left the commune, but he and his wife returned to Hohenwald toward the end of their careers in the health food field. Today, the Reeds are intimately involved in the community's cultural and nonprofit enterprises. Come along and join Reed at the old Hohenwald train depot as he takes us on a time trip back to 1971, when the hippies first descended upon the rural Tennessee town to make a new life. Reed also takes us on a fast-forward trip to the present world of Hohenwald and how the region, with its relatively extremely affordable real estate prices, is attracting a new generation of urban immigrants seeking a quality of life.
My name is Tom Reed. We're in the Hohenwald train depot in the center of town.
And you've been here since the 1970s, right?
I lived here originally in the 70s, moved away, went to Maine, raised my kids there, and we came back here 10 years ago.
But back in the day, you were a vanguard in a counterculture movement in America.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, and this was one of the motherships. Tell us about where you came and what drew you here and what was going on.
Okay, the farm was is still a spiritual community. At that time, there were about 300 people when I started going there in the 1971, 72. I moved down there from New England and got married there, had my first child there. And we left in 1974. But I still have numerous friends, acquaintances, still on the farm. And that's what drew us back here. We were in California for a number of years. Wanted to get, as I say, in the middle of where our kids were. We have kids in New England and Santa Fe, New Mexico, and New Orleans. And we have a standing joke when we go on vacation, we're apt to run into one of them.
Okay, let's back in time for a moment. It's 1971. And you arrive here, and a bunch of you come here. You guys are like alien Martians, man, landing on a different planet as far as the locals are concerned. How did that go? How did you break the ice and get things going?
Well, that's good. I wasn't on the original caravan. Uh-huh. We followed the caravan around New England specifically, so we knew some of the folks that were on the caravan pretty well before we moved down here. We came down about a year after the farm started. It was very interesting. They called it a Technicolor Amish. It started out that there was quite a bit of wariness because locals didn't know what we were trying to accomplish. It was very easy to say you had all these ideals. But what is that about? How do you actually execute on those ideals? And we were starting from scratch. So what became obvious pretty clearly early on was that there was a good work ethic. People were trying to do something. And so that carried us through quite a bit of the original angst, if you would.
So acceptance.
Acceptance came slowly. It did not come from a lot of the politicians. It didn't help that the farm is actually located at the farthest point of Lewis County in an unincorporated town. So there was not a strong binding, if you would. But I worked in the motor pool and then started a trucking company for the farm. Mm-hmm. And so I got out every day and around. And so my connections were with people on a peer-to-peer level. It wasn't about my hair down.
Right, right. Was the philosophy of the farm at that time basically socialist?
Well,
how would you describe it?
It was communal. Mm-hmm. Socialist is a...
I know. A very loaded term. Yeah.
This country is socialist in so many ways.
Right.
If you look at Medicare, Medicaid, mm-hmm. Social Security, yep. They're all social programs. So, in effect, we are a democratic socialist. Don't want to go there, do we?
No. No. A communal philosophy that works.
It worked for a time. When you went to the farm, you gave up all your goods, all your material goods. So for me, it was a Jeep, two school buses over time.
You donated it to the farm.
To the farm. Everything went into the communal pot. That was fine as long as there was enough people working. But we had what was called an open gate. If anybody wanted to come, they could come and be there. Well, I'm a New Englander at heart. I have a work ethic. Some people don't have that same work ethic. So when there was only about 300 people out of 900 actually engaged in making a living, bringing monies in, the financial situation got upside down. Mm-hmm. And the farm basically had to privatize. It's called the changeover. And it privatized. It continues, but in a whole different manner.
So it's still going today,
yes.
Decades later.
Yes.
What's it like now? What's out there? What's the philosophy? How many people are there? What do they do?
Well, there's about 200, 300 adults out there. Like I said, it's privatized. People pay a certain amount per month to live there.
They don't have to hand over their Jeep or their school buses.
No. And so you'll see things like swimming pools there now. You'll see pretty fancy houses. But again, the property is commonly owned.
Right.
So you don't own your property. So you cannot get a mortgage for your home. So people work off the farm. For instance, my good friend Cynthia that is with the Swan Conservation Trust was a state biologist for 20-some years. People with the changeover went off and got jobs. Now, before that, we had crews. So we had a plumbing crew, a framing crew, a sheetrock crew. We had the trucking company. We had all of these different entrepreneurial companies. We had the beginnings of the electronics, which I don't know if you know, they make Geiger counters.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And so after Chernobyl, mm-hmm. after Fuji, they became very popular. And people don't understand that. Now, the farm is, let's put it this way, probably 10 years ago, they were bringing in $5 million a year. So the book publishing company is a huge endeavor there. And so you have all these finally entrepreneurial spirits that were always there, mm-hmm. now engaged and free to explore. That was one of the drawbacks of being a commune. Is you had to go and try to get a share of the monies in order to do anything, which tied your hands.
Today, philosophically, spiritually, what is the allure? Why do people still come and want to join the farm?
The farm is still known for being a peaceful place. It got some good strengths. It has some challenges. But it's the idea of a community that is peaceful, that people are like-minded and trying to make a better world.
How far away do people come from today?
Well, the history of the farm, you have to understand that we had farms all over the world at one point. We had satellite farms. There is, I'll mispronounce it, Petaluma,
mm-hmm. yeah.
up where you live. There are probably 100 people that used to be on the farm there. There was a farm in Puerto Rico. There was a farm in Jamaica. There was a farm in Portugal.
And how many remain today?
None.
Wow.
This is the only one left.
Wow.
Everybody came back. There's still Plenty International, which is an outreach program. They still have a presence in Guatemala. They have a presence in New Orleans, which started incidentally, with Katrina, building homes there. there are still a lot of the network is still there. Whether or not they're officially a farm or not isn't important. It's that they're still out to change the world.
Mm-hmm. Figurehead founder person that's still around?
There are a number of the original caravan people. Ayn May's still alive, but she doesn't live on the farm any longer. Stephen passed, and you probably know that. Stephen Gaskin was the teacher. He's passed on. There are a number of people that are carrying on that role of leader-teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Douglas Stevenson is one of those. He runs Village Media and different retreats. So, that being said, most of the original folks are getting a little long in the tooth, or a lot long in the tooth. The average age was probably 25 in 1970. So, we're over 70 now. A lot of the originals are in their 80s.
That's really cool. What brought you back again, and what do you do today?
Well, my wife and I are both RNs by training. We lived in California for a number of years, and she got hurt and could no longer work. And we decided to come back here consciously to get in the middle of the country where we could move around easily because we have our children are dispersed around the country. Mm-hmm. And we came back here because there's a number of draws. People will simply say, oh, it's low taxes, low real estate costs. But that's not really it. It's a clean water. It's the feeling of being connected to the land. It's the fact that the Amish are here and have that same connection to the land. It's a good place to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's an old saying, you just don't want to survive, you want to thrive. And this is a place where you can thrive. The drawback here to some people is there's no culture. You know, when you're out in the country, what's the culture? Well, my wife also sings. She sings with the Nashville Symphony Chorus, which is 150 volunteer voices. And they do this tremendous job. Not this year, mind you, but they do a tremendous chorus. And the airport's right there. So an hour and a half, you have whatever culture you want.
Mm-hmm.
So we joke about how deprived we are living out here in the sticks. But what are you living for? Is it the quality of life or is it for the quantity?
Yeah. And but you do have live music right here in Hohenwald, and you have other activities, festivals and whatnot, markets.
Yeah. And that's, again, we're in a music-rich environment, if you would.
Mm-hmm.
One of my neighbors is one of the original members of the Eagles. Out in the middle of Hohenwald?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't ring true until you understand it. There are three or four world-class recording studios in this area. One of them is at a vineyard out on your way back towards Columbia. It's a very rich environment. We have the Chamber of Commerce runs a summer weekend series of bands out in the parking lot. And the local bands are pretty darn good, you know. So as far as being out in the middle of nowhere, you're not.
Mm.
The whole essence of the big backyard movement is that we're just in the backyard.
Right.
You know.
What's the population of Hohenwald?
Of the county? Is about 12,000.
In the town here we're
there's
in?
There's only one incorporated town in the county. That's Hohenwald. And I believe it's somewhere is around 6,000.
Mm-hmm.
I could be off on that. Not large.
Are you seeing an influx of immigrants today wanting to settle here and buy land? And
yes, that's a good way to put it. Land prices have gone through the roof. We have a lot of movement to Nashville, and then it's moving south.
But relative to Nashville, this is still a very affordable place, correct?
Very affordable.
Give us an example of what a normal house with a little bit of land might cost.
I'll tell you that 10 years ago, I bought a 1,600 square foot house with 2 1/4 acres with a stream on it for $30,000. Now, today, it would probably be in $100,000 range now. But you can't find anything in the $100,000 range now. It's gone up to one and a quarter, one and a half is more the norm for a place with any decent sized piece of property.
But you can get a really cool place for under $200,000 with some land.
My next door neighbor, the judge used to be my next door neighbor, he sold 100 acres with a cabin with a stream on it for $240,000.
Yeah.
You know, that's fairly typical still. So there are still opportunities. We joke, we don't want people to come in here and bring their value set. There is a value set here that's very good, honest, credible. And so please, if you come here, respect it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you'll be respected.
Very, very cool. And again, how do you keep busy every day? What do you do today?
I retired the first of this year. I was with a national healthcare company. I was the director of specialty applications, clinical computer applications, and I worked from here.
Oh, cool.
So I went to the office one day a week, and 4 days a week I worked remote.
And this was pre-COVID.
Pre-COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did that since I moved here, basically. Now my entrepreneurial spirit comes out. I built an Airbnb cabin this past year. I have a company called Better Gardens, where I make stainless steel raised bed corners with the Amish, partnered with an Amish friend. And we sell those through Etsy and Google, the like. And I have a hot tub company. So
you're not retired.
I'm busier than I've ever been.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it. And then I volunteer with Sun and Shine Green Initiative, which is our group that teaches self-sufficiency, self-reliance. And I hate the word self-sufficiency because it's really reliance. Mm-hmm. It's resiliency that you're trying to build. So that when this year came, it wasn't a big fat deal. This is how we live.
To begin with.
Yeah.
You're already there.
Yeah, we were already there. Yeah. What we had to do was move our chairs a little further apart.
Yeah.
You know, that's all. And, you know, we take food security very seriously. We have a number of people, one in Summertown, one south of here, that raise pigs, for instance. And you can buy a quarter, half, whole pig. We happen to buy a pig a year. It's in the freezer. We think differently in terms of we're not going to Walmart every day or every week. We may go there, but it's not for our food.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different way of thinking. It's more long term. It's more understanding where you fit into the world. And so we're supporting our local farmers. We're building them up. They build us up.
I love it.
Yeah.
To learn more about your world, Hohenwald, where would somebody search on the web and to learn more about the farm?
It's a great question. Well, there's numerous places. I would recommend Nashville's Big Backyard. Mm-hmm. They're doing a very good job of reaching out and connecting the dots. That is one of the difficulties here, is connecting the dots, because there's so many of them. And some of them are a little hidden, if you would. TheFarmCommunity.com will get you to the farm in Summertown. Pig and Leaf happens to be the name of the farm that raises pigs. They're a mile outside the gate. Most of the people on the farm are still vegetarian. But just for instance, they're good friends with Cliff and his farm, who is on a 40-year run of raising, breeding pigs. So there's no tension here to a different perception. What there is respect for different perceptions or livelihoods, if you would. And that goes really well with the Amish philosophy of, you know, the Amish are very accepting if you have credibility,
yep.
If you're honest, if you, you know, have integrity, you're accepted. And that's really the value here is, you know, I don't care what your political views are, that's not important. Can I look in your eyes and trust you?
Simple as that.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
You know? Stephen, who was the teacher on the farm, used to say this whole thing about the King James Version of the Bible. He said, you know, people will quote you the Bible and they'll even fight wars over interpretations of the Bible. But if you go to the King James Version and look at the red letters, you can pretty much trust that. And he says, and if you get right down to it, it's really the golden rule. He says, if you put that in the place, you'll be too busy to do anything else.
Yeah.
And I've always thought about living like that, you know, is treat somebody like you want to be treated,
yeah,
and it'll come back to you.
Yeah. We're struggling as a humanity to get the golden rule down. It's a constant challenge.
And it should be.
Yeah.
And it should be. If it was easy, it wouldn't have value. And that's a key learning that I think people don't really appreciate sometimes. I'm Tom Reed.
All right. And I'm Tom Wilmer, and we're reporting from Hohenwald, Tennessee. We'll see you here in Nashville's Big Backyard.
I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna save me.
The Hohenwald Farm Show is the 11th in a series showcasing Nashville's Big Backyard, an economic and tourism initiative that encompasses the Nashville Trace National Parkway in Tennessee's southwest quarter down to the Shoals region in northern Alabama. The town of Hohenwald is located along the fabled route of the Natchez Trace, 80 miles southwest of Nashville.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org. And whether you're shopping for new or used items, donating them, or volunteering, you're helping the Society of St. Vincent de Paul help others.
Well, I'll be turning 33 next Friday morning. Friday morning 15 years ago. My grandfather called me to his bedside, and he told me there was something I should know. He said, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there are crying, land will save you, wait and see. So I loaded up my car and moved to Denver. Work a job and chase big city dreams. But I never found the life I really wanted till I came back home to Leapers Fork, Tennessee. He said, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there are crying, lane will save you, wait and see. It didn't hit me quite as hard then as those words come through today. But in the chaos all around me, I can still hear Grandpa say, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there are crying, the land will save you, wait and see.